Okay, so this is now July 29th, and we'll see what we can get done here.
Good morning, group.
Hello, Ion. Greetings. Do you see Trump moving ahead in the polls, and he'll keep a lead rather than being tied for the next 2 months or 3 months?
Oh, no. It's going to be back and forth. We've got to keep this a horse race, Bob, or you won't do it. If we could call it straight out and make it be, it won't work. You can't do that. You got to give it up and down, up and down. You got to make it back and forth, and not in and out and over and all that kind of stuff. Everything a rabbit can do to a stump is how to prescribe it.
Right, so they're saying this is the ugliest election in history, the most vicious, and Trump will be the worst president.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
So it's going to get very dramatic as people watch it go up and down. And will that draw more and more?
Doubles it up. See, that makes it, they double down. And then you're going to have more and more Bernie. It'll all be decided from the Bernie.
Bernies will be saying different things, but in the long run, they will go for Trump.
They have to.
Yeah, because they hate Hillary. I mean,
right, well,
they are justified. What?
They don't trust her.
Right, and they are justified in being mad about the emails. They got a legitimate grievance.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
She's just lying, yeah.
Yeah.
And then here you go. New news. Hillary and Donald are in a virtual tie.
Wow.
Virtual tie in Missouri.
Okay, do you, what was my question? Did Hillary blow it with a lot of Democrats because of this convention? Or did she lose people?
She didn't blow it. She had a few bumps. People are still trying to figure her out, what she is or is not, or real or not. But they can't get any of those things because nothing of that was said. I mean, you got the whole big rip to do about how the world, everything is wonderful, and we don't have to make America great again. It's already great. Then you have your biggest part of the convention is having a dozen black mamas come and say how the police kill these people in the streets, and that's not so good in America. And if you'll reelect the Clinton campaign, they'll stop that. Well, they never said that. They basically were saying we're sad this happened, but it happened on your watch.
Who's saying that?
Everybody listening.
Right. So the Democrats who are undecided or were watching the convention, did most of them say they'll still vote for Hillary, or were there a radical leaving of
her? No, they don't want to. Nobody wants to. They almost put Bernie. They came so close. There's a couple of realities that had Bernie as the presumptive nominee.
Yeah, a couple of realities in our spectrum of experience. So a lot of people were upset with, a lot of Democrats were upset with her, and they're still ambivalent.
They are. Well, they just know what she did the last time, and they ain't having it.
Well, many months ago that Bernie Sanders people will determine it. You said they'll flood over to Trump, I guess, at the last minute. And there will never be any
started. It's all started.
Right, and the polls won't show that. That'll be the surprise of the election, that Trump wins in a landslide, and then they'll figure it out because the Bernies went over there. That's what you're seeing, right? The polls won't really show.
The Bernies, and if you count Bernies as the new voters, people who've never voted before or don't vote,
right,
like you.
Yeah. They will vote for Trump.
They will.
And they are Bernies too, or are there additional to Bernies?
Additional.
Okay. So, do you see the actual news cycle in the Trump presidency being crazy as Trump does funny things, or will he be a very serious president? Will change a bit. What do you see there?
Can I ask a different way?
Well, will the news be entertaining when he's president?
Oh, absolutely. Hell yes.
Will the people start to come around and say, well, this guy is sort of interesting and maybe he's not so terrible?
Now, you know how that goes.
No, they won't. It'll be complaining about him all the time. The anti-Trump people.
The President's Book of Secrets.
That will be a headline or something?
It will.
Okay. You mean secrets will be released? Okay.
Yes.
So there'll be a lot of attempts to sabotage him, trying to get an impeachment going.
Ever since Harry Truman in 52.
What do you mean ever since?
It's been done every year since 52.
Oh, right. It's always been harassment of the president. Well, Bruce Powell calls it abuse value. It's an economic term. The president serves as abuse value, not surplus
value.
Well,
but George McGovern didn't get it, though. Or Walter Mondale.
They got abused, and then the president does. Okay, gets abused. You're not sure if you like that word, abuse value, running the economy?
Correct.
Okay. We'll have to talk about that another time. So
That's why you have to do all that crazy shit you do to sleep. With the weird lights and the sound machine. Not endemically, no.
Okay,
but
well,
you
let's
do.
Go in. I need to what? I go to parallel worlds when I sleep.
You do, but it's not just because you sleep, it's because you go.
All right, and what's ridiculous about what I don't like to believe that, so I pretend I'm going to sleep and do all this ritual.
Yeah, it's foolishness.
Okay, you just mentioned something. What is actual dreaming when you're not going to other worlds? What is the dreaming function? What's happening?
Oh, it's a function of reticent REM sleep, rapid eye movement. It's when your cortex, the cerebral cortex, drops and the frontal lobe relaxes and allows your mind to sort of have synaptic reflex neuron paths that connect other outcomes that you can have in a dream state that aren't your real state, which really are your real state, but you call it your dream state.
Right, so that reminds me of the description of what happens when people take drugs. It loosens their mind. Dreaming is a kind of drug taking.
Ecstasy is good for that too.
Right, that changes.
And guess what else? And tequila makes her clothes fall off.
No, but are you saying that the loosening up of the mind that dreams provide, that's similar to what drugs do? You said you agree with that statement.
Yeah, it's like low energy jab.
So when you have dreams and the imagery, does the imagery come from your daily activity, from your subconscious, so to speak?
No. All these worlds, even the jihadists understand it. All those parallels are running concurrent. They are concurrent. So you're bumping into things and say, when you're in another world, things are happening in this world that you're also responsible for. The news that you miss, you're still responsible for, Bob. The news that you miss still happens, still is, and then you have to either catch up, change it, move it, accept it, deny it, or rewind it to do what they call the reboot, take the blue pill instead of the red pill.
Right. But what, news in other worlds or news in this world?
Both. All of them. All those are happening simultaneously.
So sleeping is irresponsible. Dreaming is irresponsible because you're missing out what's going on?
No, it's another experience.
Right, and you're saying it makes you miss what's going on. Is that an issue that I have to catch up?
You do.
So it's an issue.
No, it's not an issue, but you do have to catch it up. Just because all those things you think you're missing, you're not really missing.
So you have to. It's healthy to realize you're not missing anything.
Basically.
Okay. So this factor of dreaming. So if one wakes up. And you remember, say, something, how do you tell whether it was a parallel world experience or the difference from dreaming?
Your mind can't. As a little man, you can't.
Right. So many people are recalling things they did in parallel worlds, and they don't realize it's... No. many people are remembering things in parallel worlds, and they think they've been dreaming. So, and they can't ever determine which is which, unless you become a very good parallel worlder. Now, how come we don't offer techniques of how to help people parallel world or become
conscious? Because we don't want them to.
We don't want them to become conscious of it?
If they are, great, but we don't promote it.
Why wouldn't we promote it? Because many people who are attracted to us for that reason, they want to learn the parallel world. Or once they realize that they are doing it all along, they want to be aware of it. We don't offer any spiritual techniques to help improve that.
There aren't any spiritual techniques. That's the point. It's not a spiritual technique. It's like taking a shit. We don't tell you how to take a shit. We figure you can figure that out for yourself. Biological functions are on your own. And if we have to tell you how to do that, why would you believe us if that's what we had to tell you? Why would you not come into a position where you figured it out for yourself? Because you've got to land. If we open your synaptic neurotransmitter so wide open that you can hear everything, you won't be able to hear anything. Look at Carolyn right now. She hears better than all of you all put together. And it has to be filtered and limited because she hears every single frequency. So it has to be turned way down in order for her to be able to stand it. Otherwise, it runs her out of her mind.
Well, why can't she hear everything? Why is that?
It's called ascension.
Oh. I have people report to me when they're on LSD, they could hear a lot more.
That's because the resistance is lessened.
Right. So, to acquire spiritual gifts as you ascend, one of them is to become aware of your parallel worlding. Is that acquiring a spiritual gift, even though you say it's a biological function?
No, it's a function. It's that you're acquiring a biological function.
All right. So it's not a spiritual gift. Be aware of parallel worlding.
Yeah, no. Not a gift. It's not a gift. It's taking the shit a gift.
Okay.
No, I mean, some people might say a good bowel movement makes the heart grow fonder, but that's the point. You're making these, applying these damned words, to this simple thing to try to make it into some Laurentian quadrant, something up your bum to see what you ate. You know, you don't have to do that to see how it goes.
Before the printing press, which you say inaugurated the dark age, were people way more aware in what we call medieval times of parallel worlding consciously than the book?
Yes, they spoke of it often. They spoke of it. He was in another world. He went to another world. They talked about it that way. They were very plain about it. They go, oh, they were just talking that Elizabethan language. They were just talking that language. They wasn't really meaning nothing like that. Well, that's exactly what they meant, Bob.
Well, did it take 100 years for the effect of the printing press to alter people's minds and shut them down?
Well, it's not over yet, so we don't know yet.
We're still being affected by books, so...
Hell yeah, even bad ones.
All right, so...
But the good news is you no longer buy them, so that's good. You just borrow them now.
Right, you mean me or people in general?
Yeah, you are people in general.
So Leonardo da Vinci puts Edison in the Mona Lisa painting. Did he go and, like Nostradamus, see what was going to come in this our time now? He knew all that?
He did.
And did he teach Michelangelo?
He did.
And so Michelangelo has.
But don't be making a big ripping to do about that. You'll have them. You'll have the Jews all stirred up, and you'll have problems with ACLU and Lord Dogs and Cats. Then just let that lay low, because it don't make any difference at the end of days. You're right. You got it. You win. You got it. Tear it up. You got it. But that's good. I mean, there's nothing boastable in that conductivity.
So Leonardo put
conductivity. You'll have to look it up.
Yes, and you talk about, like, Daphne's son is very, has a lot of conductivity. What part of our being is the conductivity? What am I conducting? Or
the real parts.
And that
not
involves
the lying and fictitious, the thing that your lying eyes promote. That your
right.
lying eyes promotes all kinds of things. Then you get sideways and somebody tells you something and you find out and you believe it and you get to hollering at them and taking on and you're going to never speak to them again. You can't stand them there. That lying Ted, that lying crooked Hillary, that cheap thing. And then on. And then you find out it's all a bunch of bullshit. You go, wait a minute, we understood it that way, but it wasn't that way. Okay, never mind. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, you've done horrible, terrible, terrible, terrible things to separate yourself from the very relationships that are going to be very, very, very important for you to continue. So you come right back to it and go, wait, I got to straighten this part out. And so maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you had to be real careful because you know all those linked up, big peak toes linked back to me like a dog's palm can fit many people's feet. So those shoes fit a lot of folks. So things that you know to be that are reality cannot necessarily be real. So what that means is, be very careful because history will twist on you real fast. But you've been a first-hand example of that, haven't you?
I don't know. Did I get a raw deal in history?
You're going to be careful. You're going to do well. But you just be careful, be aware, because the things that you know to be, obviously, are not.
They're not?
They are not.
Even though I know they are.
Well, the thing, part of it that you know is wonderful, but it's not that they are.
And what they are is what history says?
Well, it's what you know it to be is history. But see, that's what the point of this conversation is. Just be very cautiously aware, because that's always changing. One minute they put a man on the moon. The next minute it was a damn lie. One minute they got somebody on the way to Mars. Next minute they don't even know Mars is. One minute you believe there's 9 planets. Fuck, then you find out there's no planets. Then you find out, well, there's -1. No, that's the moon. No, that's this, that, that. No, the world really is flat. You don't know anything when you get right back down to it. But yet you gauge your parenthetical relationship basis on what you know.
Right, so you were just saying...
That's a bias that you can't afford.
Yeah, so you said Bob knows what is, but that's not the way they are. When you say they're not the way they are, that's the changing history part.
Correct. So just be careful with your positions. When you jump on a position, go, no, it's going this way. This is the way it is. Well, be very careful because that'll turn on you.
But I'm aware of that, and that's why I don't have a position often.
Good, and that's but yet you're still responsible for it. See, that's the rub, is you're still responsible for all this shit. It's not your job to drive the train and make the whistle sound. It's not your job to steer the train or tell where it is bound. It's not your job, Bob, to stoke the coal or even ring the bell. But let this goddamn train jump the track and see which one of us catches hell.
If I'm responsible for this, is that a kind of power? Am I the most powerful person on the planet?
Oh, well, we don't want to tell you that.
Well, you did say that once in passing.
We know, but sure, we don't want to commit you to that, because even though it's the case, we don't want to commit you to that, because
right.
you'd be responsible for it. So let's just say, if you were, what would you do? If you were Dos Equis, most powerful man in the world, what would you do differently? Than you do now. You
nothing,
say nothing
different.
We say, okay. Well, then we say, good. Then we say, good. Enjoy your position. Beautiful.
Yes.
No problem.
Yeah, I wish.
You see, we stop in that, because if we turn it into a thing, the next thing you know, then you got to go straighten out Donald Trump land, and I don't think you really want to do that.
Right. So, yeah, I think I have a good handle on being the most powerful person and not doing anything other than slowly bringing forth our projects, which is
okay.
worthwhile
That's
doing.
That's fair. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice.
Okay, I'll move it along here. This is about the dark web.
What's that?
Well, where would you leak it to? Where would it be even noticed? You put it on YouTube?
On accident. It's the most, get it in the dark web, the worst part of the dark web, where you'd have to go to jail if you went there, and then by morning it'll be everywhere.
So how does, I know anybody, does Chad know how to put something in the dark web?
Don't worry about it, Bob.
Okay, so we
You could go to jail knowing about the dark web, so don't worry about it.
We're not supposed to know about it.
Well, you can, but you'll go to jail.
Is that right? It's illegal to know about the dark web. I didn't know that.
For you, it is.
All right, so we... Okay, that was the dark web. Next part. Looked at a dialogue with William Irwin Thompson.
We're so sorry.
Says he doesn't want, he didn't want to be famous. Is that true?
That's a lie. Well, then why would he separate himself and make a pact with the fucking devil to be semi-famous as he is?
You mean with David Rockefeller? Is that the semi-devil? Yeah, I notice when he talks, his right side of his lip mouth goes up. It's like someone talks.
It's Bell's palsy.
Oh, it's because of his health or physiology.
It's because of his pact with his, with your dark lord and master Satan.
Right. Now the thing is, it looks like he's cynical when he's talking like that, when his mouth
is
like that.
Well, but he is.
All right. Okay. So. And it's his personality.
He's mad because he got what he wished for, and it's not what he wished for. Ha ha. He got what he wished for, and it's not what he wished for. Ha ha.
And that kind of personality dilemma he's got himself in has you back off from him and saying things like, we don't like him.
Glamour.
Okay, there's that. Let's see, next part. This is about Peter Drucker, top management guy, last half of the 20th century. And Ian will start quoting him. Actually started quoting Sam Drucker from Green Acres. Starts making this issue. Sam Drucker connects to Peter Drucker. And you'll hear Drucker, both Peter Drucker and Sam Drucker's TV quotes. Peter Drucker became...
Oh, he's related to Sam Drucker from Hooterville, isn't he?
No. So listen to this. Peter Drucker, he did a book called Adventures of a Bystander, 1979, where he talked about his life as the top management consultant in North America, pretty well, maybe in Europe. So he was the biggest, most successful guy, and he used a lot of McLuhan in his writings. So in the 70s, which was more corporate than the 60s, in other words, it was a more innocent time in the 60s, then the technological matrix starts to get a little more complicated. So the world becomes a little... for individuals, anti-individual. It just starts to, people feel the world's bigger than them, media's bigger than them. So Drucker, because he was riding this surfing consultant.
You say Croker.
You're not going to let that go. Okay. So you're like a little kid. Daddy said Croker. So Drucker, and McLuhan has to deal with this imperfect.
Unless commitment is made, there's only promises and hopes, but no plans.
Is that Drucker or Croker?
Peter Drucker, Sam Drucker's relative.
All right. So in the impersonal 70s, McLuhan is happy to have Drucker being out there and influenced by McLuhan. So that's what McLuhan was influencing the world through Drucker. And the complementary other factor in the early 70s was, what did I say? Oh, R. Murray Schafer was a famous Canadian musical composer. And he wrote a book called Tuning the Sky, which McLuhan promoted, liked that book. The Tuning the Sky is like Tetrad Manjum, orchestrating the global environments, which is what the world tried to do in the 70s as the world got unmanageable. But the corporations took over, the summit meeting start, the Trilateral Commission. So is it appropriate to say...
When a subject becomes totally obsolete, you make it a required course.
Yes. So Drucker is a good statement by me to indicate that there's a different McLuhan in the 1970s. He's not quoting books almost. He's quoting music. Music, we live entirely by music, he said. So that meant Armin Murray Schafer was a bigger influence than James Joyce or any book people. Do you follow my thinking there in my chart?
Yeah. people who don't take risks generally make about two big mistakes a year. People who do not take risks generally make about two big mistakes a year.
Nice. But it defaulted my reasoning. And then the latter part of the 70s, I said, McLuhan, who did he quote? Who was his intellectual hero? I said, himself. And he would just talk in his later years about what he had said in relation to other criticism. And then the music, the parallel operation was movies like Star Wars that he commented on, or the nostalgia trends like Roots TV show. You see how it ends up with him self-referential, predicting the acting out the internet, the Android meme, so that he was quoting himself like many people do today, because they can. So do you see my
secret? There's nothing so useless as doing efficiently that which not should not be done at all.
And so my chart.
His own damn quote messes up his own damn deal.
So I quote, I laid out this new chart on the McLuhan site. Did anybody get a startling insight from it, or was it ignored as usual and not paid any attention to it?
Well, the best way to predict the future, Bob, is to create it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I'm doing that. And it's best not to talk about it to other people as you do
it.
Yeah.
Keep your ideas to yourself until they're fully developed, or you'll be asking the patent office if the copyright was yours first.